You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 211. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
I was waiting for the second ding. I never heard it. Anyway, maybe change the second ding.
Oh.
All right.
Ding.
Ding. All right. Well, then let's begin. This week, we were going to talk about the 1E tournament that we had locally in San Diego. We're going to talk about whatever Rogue's been doing for the last week or so. I think something on last Wednesday. We've got a 1E spoiler, and there was another hangout over the weekend, so we'll talk about that.
Cool.
What did you do this week?
Now, you, what did I do this week? What didn't I do this week is the question. Right after our last show, we had a tournament. It was kind of interesting. The local playgroup, is largely based out of, a group of, I think most of them, or some of them, work at the same company. At least a few of them do. And Matt Decker, Com Decker, runs tournaments at their office in a side room. And I thought it was like, I kind of had imagined like our corporate gaming that we've talked about occasionally, where we go to one of the offices of our players and go to like the conference room and, you know, have space set up and everything. No, he like gets a space in another building from where their office is, because that's a better place for them to play, to get into, and like brings in tables like in his car and sets them all up and brings out the folding chairs. And it is a full on, like, you know, offsite event that he sets this up. So it was pretty impressive to see that they go through all that to get it going, particularly after I walked there. And so it turns out that their office is just about a mile up the road from the office that I am working in remotely once a week while I'm on the East Coast, which is part of why I was able to come. Only the Google Map does not tell you that once you get to the address of the office park that it's in, it's actually like another third of a mile or something, like off the road back up into this like forested, you know, hidden, like, I don't know. It was like, where the hell do I go now? There's nothing here.
That's something you don't get a lot around here is, you know, when you get somewhere, you're there, whereas
yes,
in a lot of places, you know, there's trees, you can't see where you're going, there's this thing called woods. We don't have woods here. There's no woods in San Diego.
Yeah, no, not a lot. We have palm trees.
You can see through palm trees.
Yes. Oh, there's the Arby's. Oh, it was hidden behind that, you know, the frond and, you know, the coconuts. But, you know, I guess they had been expecting, you know, not one, but two out-of-town visitors, as you tipped off to me and thus apparently ruined the surprise of JD being in town for his work. And so he had also crashed. So their group that normally, I guess, like, but there was emails flying that week of, are we going to have four players this week? I don't want to come out if we're not going to have four players. And we had nine.
Wow. Awesome.
So, yeah, it was a big crowd for their group, which was nice. And I was a little disappointed because I went in like, all right, it's a new play group. I'm going to go and I'm going to meet new people and get to play different people that I have played, haven't played before, and I played one new person.
What?
Well, we had 9 people, so it was a bye, and it was a weeknight, so we only played 3 rounds. So I played one new person who I hadn't played before, Lucas, who is Edge of Hearing on the boards, and then had the bye, and then played Matt, who I haven't played in person, but I've played online.
Okay. Okay. Well, so, I thought you were going to say you played JD in the last
one. You know, I was half expecting to at that point. It's like, that would be just the, you know, the icing on the cake. But, you know, not that I don't like playing JD, but, you know, I play JD all the time. I would play, you know, that's why I'm out here, making the effort to play while I'm out here, especially after I had to print and sleeve and everything, like 150 cards for this stupid deck. But it was interesting to see the difference in playgroup. There was lots of, it's a very small room, like a little bit bigger than a standard bedroom. So there was not a lot of, you know, surprise when, you know, you hear over your shoulder at another table, okay, assimilate, attempt an objective. Like, okay. The collective is in the house. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being the top table where the two board players. That was a fairly popular. A lot of unique decks. My first opponent, All Planet, with Genesis, apparently as a fake out. So he came in intending to do 100 for the missions, just hoping that the mesh of your space dilemmas having to mix in and redistribute would be enough to make it easy for him to do, you know, the extra missions worth of points.
Sure. I think if I saw that space line, I'd probably put my legitimate planet combo under Genesis and then spread everything else out. So that's a pretty good fake out.
Yeah, that was an interesting idea, and it's made especially frustrating because I made some bad mistakes early that I could have easily got by, but as it was, like, I managed to almost catch up. I held some point loss, held them to like 138 or something, thanks to my capture torturing and prisoner escort, but I just couldn't get past my last. I ended up failing my last mission because to Shaka. My walls fell was the last dilemma, and I just didn't have enough diplomacy, get enough force back. But I was playing a version of that TNG Cardassian deck with the androids. Or not with the androids.
The
non-aligned Borg.
Yeah.
With a couple of androids. Yeah. The one I kind of the universal count of the Borg, and I threw in for fun. I threw in it because I finally realized that there's not really anything that stops you from playing it. And it was handy to have, you know, to go get exactly what I needed instead of digging and digging and digging and hoping to draw the right thing. So I didn't actually use it a whole lot. It wasn't as crucial to the deck as it is a true Cardassian deck or a true Bajoran deck, but it was nice. I used it as space spin, so I wanted to find a few peaking mechanisms that's still, you know, valid in OTF. And
so if you had it at a space mission, does that mean you weren't processing ore, or did you were using that 40-point anybody-can-steal-it mission?
Correct. No, I did not use it. You can't seed DS9 there. You can only seed Empok Nor at that mission you're talking about.
Right.
So DS9 Terek Nor has to seed at a Bajor region. Empok Nor can seed at That's why Impact Ore is so awesome, because it can seed at mining survey, which specifically tells you you can process ore at that space mission, but that you can also use the science lab to look at the dilemmas. It's pretty crazy. But I thought about doing the processing ore, but with the tent, the new Civil War tent, a lot of people pack reactor overload. It's not really worth it for only one card draw. And I'm not playing Mirror, so I can't ignore it. So I was like, well, we'll use the scanning instead of the card draw and see if that helps. So that was interesting. But clearly not enough to get me a win in the first round. And then my last round, I almost hesitate to describe because I kind of want to try it myself.
Ooh,
and I don't want to ruin
good.
The surprise. But I don't know. I mean, he's probably played it online and everybody else already knows about it. And I just was the first, it was the first time I've seen it was, he laid out, you know, Delta Quadrant missions. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I've got my monument and then a non-aligned outpost and okay, sure. And then continuing mission and a space door and,
you get the galaxy?
Ferengi then... military operations.
Oh, my.
Nope. And so he got some mission specialists and his non-aligned ship, and he flew over to... what was he... I don't know. He used, like, some kind of... there's a whole lot of downloads, like AMS and ASP and other things that... like direct you where to download something, so it ignores quadrant request restrictions.
Yeah.
And he used one of those to get a Ferengi engineer. And then he took his Ferengi engineer over to a planet or to another mission and flipped his construct starship.
Yeah.
And downloaded an outpost. And Ferengi military operations specifically says plays for free to your outpost.
Huh.
Actually, card playing, like he was using Edge in All Hands, and Ferengi military operations, those card plays direct you where to play them. And then... you know, his card plays were other things that he didn't have to worry about quadrant restrictions. So it was pretty interesting. You know, it was still limiting, but it was an interesting setup to go out of his way to go and do the really powerful, you know, Delta Quay. He had a lot of high point value missions.
That's just weird. And I would not have thought that even though FMO says where to play them, since you're not... it says you're playing them for free. It doesn't really say... it doesn't grant you the ability to play them at the outpost. I wouldn't think that overrides the quadrant restrictions, that's very interesting.
So is it just that... Do things like AMS work because it's a download into play? Is that why that's different?
Yeah... All right, well, Ken is in the chat room saying that the free plays from TNG stuff can cross quadrants, so... All right, well, that's interesting.
Right.
I'll have to look at that. I was expecting you to say something like, he downloaded Galaxy and then downloaded the Dom Perignon and turned it into the Enterprise, and then everyone was reporting aboard the Enterprise for free. But...
Well, now I want to do that.
Yeah, because that sounds fun.
Yeah.
TNG in the Delta Quadrant sounds fun. That's interesting. I hadn't ever thought about that.
It was definitely unexpected, and I got really lucky because he piled everybody on his ship and went over and managed to find God, or more to the point, God found him. But I mean, it. If we had had more time, I think I would have fallen behind. But I want to say it didn't really slow him down much, but it slowed him down enough that we kept hammering away at dilemmas, and I managed to get a second mission done you know, as time was called to get a timed win, but he was just dropping the people like crazy, and he had enough to start attempting, you know, fairly quickly, even though he had lost so many of that early on. So it was a really neat idea, and it was cool to watch it work. You know, in as much as it's cool to see people use attempting Delta missions at all.
Yeah. Are the two Ferengi, the sages, the great sages, do they have Delta Quadrant icons? Was he using those guys?
Yes. He can't use them because you'll lose your continuing mission.
Oh,
right, I guess if you want to play them late in the game, they are tanks, man. You know, hang on to those until you've got enough people out that you don't care about your continuing mission draw anymore. Mm-hmm. Although, actually, no, that would be even more crucial in that deck, since that's what's letting you play your people.
Yeah, that would be a mistake.
Yeah.
It's kind of a... Wow, that would be the backwards way of doing it, because the whole point of Ferengi military operations is, or at least one of the points of Ferengi military operations, is they're good at battle, and if you're going to be out in the Delta Quadrant, you're pretty much on your own. Was he trying to do 140 points, or was he ever going to the Alpha Quadrant?
No, he had the wormhole mission, so he could get to the Alpha Quadrant if he needed to. I am pretty sure. Yeah, he did.
Wild.
But we didn't get that far. So, yeah, it was interesting. It was a cool idea.
All right. Well, brilliant.
I did put a crimp in my capture style, though.
Who ended up winning the tournament?
I don't know. A Borg player.
Fair enough. That seems to be popular these days.
Yeah. I felt kind of bad because we got there right as it was time to start, and it was kind of like, okay, hey everybody, he's going, and then you play you. So I met my players, and then it was such a small room, there wasn't even really room to hang out for the bi player, so I was kind of like in this sort of adjacent room. I didn't want to like sit in the middle there and like, hey look, I'm hanging out with you guys, I'm totally not scouting.
Yeah, no,
so I didn't want to like rub people the wrong way, but then I also wanted to be social and try to be in the room. So I kind of went in towards the end of the round when most of the games were over. But then people were leaving, and then my game was the last game to finish at the end. And it was, you know, it wasn't like they were just kind of playing for fun. There weren't prizes or anything. So mostly when people finished their game, they left.
Yeah, it's tough on a weeknight.
Yeah. So it basically came down to not, you know, there was only like four or five of us left by the time our game ended. But we did convince one other person to stay for Tribbles, because Matt wanted to play, and me and JD were like, hell yeah, we want to play. And so we're like, come on, anybody. And in keeping with very important Tribbles tradition, the new player totally destroyed us.
Was he using your deck?
No, he was using... No, he didn't use JD's deck. He used one of Matt's decks. Matt printed out a couple of decks, of extra decks. And then it was interesting because they were just slips. They weren't sleeved. It was just the cards cut out on pieces of paper. And I'm like, I didn't have time to sleeve these and make my deck. So we just... you know, kind of shuffle these up a little bit, and but you know, it totally worked, and we had a good time. It was a great, as always, a way to unwind after a tournament. You know, no matter how well or poorly you did, and
at least you could socialize with two of the folks from that area, right?
Yeah, that was great, and. JD forced us to reseat after getting skipped too many times using his Bach, which was great. And he had, man, JD was like super prepared. I guess he's been having his getting his friends into Tribbles as well. But he had like all the starter decks printed out with 100,000s added to introduce new people. And he had the new rule book printed out in full color with all the sheets so you could see all the powers. And so, I mean, I feel bad because I can't remember his name now, but our new player was like, you know, he would look at the cards and he would look down at the sheet and it's like, oh, okay, I know what that does. And, you know, cool. He was copying things and cloning things so he could, you know, see what they do. And yeah, he picked right up and I think I went out like three of the five rounds, but it was never for very much and some good poisons or utilizes, and going out himself, he just pulled ahead. And I was able to use my Tribbles prize kit that I didn't use at Dragon Con, so that was nice to have some prizes for new players in a different area.
Nice. Let's see. Was this in Lexington?
Yes, Lexington. That was it.
No, not Sweden.
No.
Dogbert. That's his online handle.
Congratulations, Dogbert.
Wow. All right. Anyway, and it looks like, wow, he won both events. It looks like he won the...
Did he win the tournament as well?
Yeah. He won the tournament as well. I just pulled up the Romulus tournaments and... yeah, nice. All right. Well, well, that loads. The tradition of loaning someone a deck and having them beat you over the head with it continued in San Diego as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On Saturday after the 1E tournament, Charlie took my bonus deck and scored over a million Tribbles with it. And even TV could not come back from that firepower of that magnitude.
Wow.
Yeah, that was astounding. I think I went out once for 200,000 or so, and TV went up once for about 300,000. So he had secured second place, and in the last round, I think we went out with like 11 or 1,000 or something, just so it would end the madness. We only had four people for Tribbles. We only had four people come out for our 1E event, which has got to be the fewest we've had in a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hearing your story of nine people. I'm like, wow, those are the days. But you were gone. Matt didn't come out. He didn't have time to build a deck. JD was out. You know, and that's half a tournament right there. So it was a little bit slight.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah. You know, that was... I opened up everyone else's deck so I could talk about
it. So who was there?
It was me and Charlie and Johnny and TV. I opened up, we just ended up playing round robin, you know, three rounds. I opened up against Thomas.
Sure.
Thomas was playing an OTF Fed deck. He's played it a few times, or something similar a few times before, just straight up Enterprise. A lot of guys play for free, and... I think he has three seed cards, and the rest are dilemmas. You know the deck, yeah?
Yeah.
So, his new trick this time was he played the Hood, which I don't think I've ever seen actually in a deck before, and then played, is it DeSoto? Robert DeSoto is the captain of the Hood?
Yep. Robert DeSoto.
VIPs to report here.
Oh.
And then played the Traveler as his, you know, because he only has one or two dots. So
how did he abuse this?
The Traveler gets you a card draw because he only has like one or two dots. And you play him on a ship. And then you return the Traveler to hand to move the ship anywhere you want. So he could just bounce around the space line at the cost of a card play every turn. Because he can play using DeSoto, the Traveler's VIP.
Oh, wow.
You play him on the Hood, and you jump all the way over the place. It was kind of interesting. It did well enough. He went on to win the tournament.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Those are three cards that I've never seen before in a deck. So, that was brilliant.
Wow. That is hilarious.
Yeah. it didn't. I think.
So does it only work while he's on the hood?
Yeah. DeSoto says, if on USS Hood, you're compatible. VIPs may report aboard. And where'd he go? The Traveler, which he played the old school Q's tent with a bunch of Q's tents in his deck so he can get them out. Because apparently this is one he only had one copy of. It has one dot, so you get a card draw, like I said. He's a VIP. If aboard your ship with Youth, allow ship to move from one space line location to any other space line location, then phases out, return to hand. So he can go wherever you want.
So he's right back in your hand.
Yeah.
And you can play him again.
Yeah. So he was playing TNG Fed, so he was using this to get away from bad guys. He was using this to just get whatever he wanted on the board. It was kind of funny. It was interesting to see. Ken in the chat room says that's funny. He's going to think about that. So,
yeah, when you mentioned the Traveler, I was thinking my brain went to LaTonka.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, because he's a big fan of...
He's a big fan of going off of one side of the space line and appearing on the other, no doubt. In my game against Thomas, I think I got a full loss.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to quickly open up something else in another window here and see if I got what I wanted. Expand all. I was playing a deck that was trying to do probably one too many things, but I solved Earth, and I got 15 bonus points, so I got 55 points, but that's as much as I got before he solved his third mission and won. In the next round, I was playing against Charlie, and Charlie has a deck called Ken Built This, But I Made It TNG. He was playing a Romulan deck, TNG Romulan. It's like the last affiliation that he needed to play, and it was... you know, pretty much a very good TNG Romulan deck. He was using Metaphasic Shield Test and Raid Ancient Burial Site, so he had all three, both of the sub-teams plus the Romulan TNG thing going. Lots of free plays, lots of handshakes. I want to say that on the third or fourth, maybe it was the fifth turn, he had no draw deck yet left because he had gone through the whole thing. Play four guys, discard three cards, draw seven more. It was a machine. Eventually he...
Oh my god.
Yeah, eventually he played his Isomag Disintegrator and got it all back again and went through it again. He was most of the way through by the time... Boy, I didn't get any of my draw engine stuff going, which there was a fatal flaw in my draw engine anyway. I thought I had a great idea. Not nearly as great as the Traveler and DeSoto, but I was playing a lot of past or AU guys, so I threw in was it Tampering with Time? No. The one that lets you draw four cards.
Revisionist History?
Yeah, the one that goes with that. Yeah. I can just open up my deck list. I got it right here. I had 10 copies of Temporal Shifting. So I pitched my AU guy, right?
Yes.
I had first turn defend homeworld for Jean-Luc, who has the blue icon, right? So then you use Nanoprobe Resuscitation to take the guy you just pitched to report him for free to Jean-Luc's location. Great idea, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Temporal Shifting says discard a card, and then a player draws four cards, and then you discard the event. So the event goes on top of the personnel. So it's no longer the top card of the personnel. So needless to say, I had a draw engine that didn't quite work the way I intended. I still had a lot of cards I could throw away with Temporal Shifting, and I got hit by Thomas's... Oh, yeah. Let's go back to the first game a minute. I got hit by Thomas's five-card combo that was kill people, kill people, kill people, get everyone stuck on your ship, make sure you don't have a medical kit, theta radiation poisoning, and then Cytherians. So you're going down the space line, one space at a time. Every end of every turn, somebody's dying. I managed to get everyone back every turn because I had a handful of these nanoprobe resuscitations. So that was the only thing that kept me in the game against him. My ship was unfortunately limping down the lane, and I was using old school TOS ships with like 6 range, so it was really, really slow. I think a couple more turns I might have been back in it, but yeah, that was nuts. Anyway, I ended up using nanoprobe resuscitation a lot more than I ever have before, just because I had, you know, a bunch of them. So it was still a great play. It just wasn't as cool as the thing that I thought it was. I'm looking at the trap room now, and Ken saying, "No, Dan, because..." Yeah, exactly. So I'm not the only one who's probably tried to play this and failed miserably. Had I had time to play test the deck a little bit, do a few draws, actually read the cards, maybe I would have caught it in time and taken some of those out. But in the end, I still had a good time. Against Charlie in the second round, so I sat down. As I said, he went through his entire deck in like 5 turns. And I was playing with Camp Kittimer and Earth, and they were literally, Earth was on the far middle left of the space line, and Kittimer was on the far right end of the space line. And half my guys are playing over there, and half of them are playing over there, and it took me most of the game just to get everyone in the same place. It was so slow and painful, and it was pretty much draw, play, or play, draw, go, play, draw, go. Okay, I'll move my ship, go, I'll move my ship, go. Eventually, I limped down the space line, and the same thing in the first mission, the first game. I did Earth and got 15 bonus points, and that was it. It was kind of sad. All right, come on. Recently earned achievements. Ugh. Earned achievements. Expand all. Gah! It's still not there. I must have done something wrong. Anyway, I had a good time. I got to figure out what I did wrong, because there was a hint about an achievement, and I put together a deck with, I thought, everything that I would possibly need to do it, and I must be missing something, because it's either not there or it's not working. So, you know who's a good card? I like the new Janeway. The new Admiral Janeway that sits on Earth.
Really?
She's an admiral. She reports for free. You put her on Earth, and all your ships get range plus 1. So all my original series ships that I was limping around on went from 7 to 8 or 6 to 7 range.
Oh,
and I was able
nice.
To go 2 missions instead of 1 mission at a time. That was great.
Yeah.
There was another card I threw in at the last minute because Mr. Scott downloads it, and that's Divert Power. Subtract 2 from weapons and shields and add 1 to range, add 2 to range. So that was pretty good. And with Damora Zulu, I have like a 10 range ship once all the pieces were in place. It just took a while for that to ever happen. Anyway, you know, Charlie, I stopped him with a lot of dilemmas. I was really happy with the dilemmas I was playing. They were new to me. I did something different this time. Instead of having 3 card combos that I just showed up with and then played them blindly, I made up pretty much all my combos on the fly. It expanded the seed phase by about probably 5 to 10 minutes because, you know, I'm slow and that's the first time I've ever done this before. But, I duplicated a mission with Thomas in the first round, so I wasn't scrambling to try to figure out what I was going to do. I just built them with that in mind. Against Charlie, I built them with Romulans in mind. Romulans in mind? Did I think it was playing? Yeah, because I seeded some extra stuff at his headquarters, which with Romulus, which he didn't actually end up doing. But I put another mission, another dilemma under scientific research there, and I thought it was very good. I would probably do that again.
So despite your record, it seems like you seem to have fun and with some of the strategies you had in your deck.
Yeah. My last game against Johnny, I think he put the dead end at Earth, which was, you know, smart move. So I had to go do another mission. I think I solved Reunion with, I had 2 of the 3 guys there, but I couldn't get the last. I couldn't get Spock out. I had Mr. Spock, but no Spock. So I only got 15 points for that. So I think I ended up with 30 in that game. I really liked the way the deck worked. I definitely would probably take out... All right, so there's 2 things that I was trying to do. There are enough Alpha Quadrant Voyager people to get the Voyager crew achievement with only putting 3 dead cards in your tent. the Doctor, and Carrie Kim, and Paris. And someone said later, hey, you just put in a Delta Flyer and a hidden fighter, and you can play, you know, matching Commander Paris to the ship with a ready room door. Okay, well, those are cards I did not need to put in this, you know, 60-card deck. So I had three dead cards in the tent. Turns out, if I had room for one more, I probably would have put in the new Spock that was converted from Genesis, has the needs of the many. Got my ship blown up by Johnny. That might have been helpful. I don't know how the damage markers would have worked, but that might have saved me. I hit his Gomtu and got flung toward the Ferengi fleet, which was not good. But I think at that point Johnny had so many people out, I was just trying to get something done. And I lost to Johnny in the last round. So I scored... Boy, you know how easy it is to get points from the whales? It is ridiculously easy to get points from the whales.
It's stupid easy. I really don't like it.
Yeah, for one seed slot, you get points from the whales. Had I thought about it, I would have thrown in the Phoenix in there, too. That's 25 points. You're a quarter of the way of to the end. With Earth being 40 points, 65 points for just that, you're doing a normal space mission and you're done. That was really easy, and I would totally do that again. Just watch out to make sure that you know you don't hit any Enterprise D guys doing that objective that doesn't let it play for anywhere. Yeah,
I played against a deck last summer, two summers ago at Dragon Con. It was Earth Feds. You know, and you put all your stuff at Earth thinking they're going to go there and block it, and it's like, oh no, I'm going to do these two real simple, cheesy missions for 50 points and then get the whales and play the Phoenix and then drop Sorin in the Nexus, and hey, look, I've not had to do anything for half the game.
Wow, Sorin in the Nexus for another 20 points. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous.
45 points for not doing very much. Yeah, yep. I like it.
It's a mission specialists and planet space.
So in the end, three rounds, I want to say I scored, you know, there are tournaments where I throw up my hands and I don't score any missions in a game. At least in this, I scored a planet mission in all three of my games. I was on my way to doing a space mission in all three of my games. I had enough bonus points that I probably don't think I could have turned the corner with just two missions, but I know I had at least one cleared out in, maybe it was against Charlie, and I had like, there's like eight engineers in the deck, or maybe four engineers, whatever it was. Three of the last four cards that I drew were, oh, look, there's Scotty. Oh, look, there's another engineer. I couldn't do the stupid three engineer mission. Anyway, I felt like I was playing competitive in a deck that had some self-imposed impediments. The 1E compatible version of Tuvok and Paris from Genesis, not that good cards. They don't play for free.
No, they're not.
And they don't. I mean, Paris, I guess you can cycle through your deck if you get stopped. But
their attributes are geared towards 2E, which just makes them kind of mediocre.
Yeah. So I think I would take out, I would think I would leave Janeway in, but probably the others I'd take out. I want to say I had a non-aligned Chakotay in there and a non-aligned B'Elanna. They're both interesting, but not really worth playing either. I'd take those out. The whole idea for this was I threw in Admiral Janeway and I thought, well, if I'm going to do this whole nanoprobe resuscitation thing, I can use Annika Hansen, or no, not Annika Hansen. Ensign 7 of 9.
Jameson.
Ensign, yeah. Jameson. And she could be my play because she's a, you know, time traveler. I can use her to get out of time and just bounce the whales, you know, even easier. And on second thought, Jean-Luc was so much better. And man, having him as just a traveling outpost where anybody who dies just magically respawns, that was awesome. So anyway, I had a good time. I came in last. My run of coming in second in tournaments, it ends at like 3. And yeah. Congrats to Johnny for winning with Congrats to Thomas for winning with TNG Feds. That was pretty cool.
You're used to saying the other thing.
I went over to a panel where I thought the winning deck was up, but it was Johnny's deck. I did get a few achievements. I got Federation Player for having a fifth time playing Federation. That was kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
But I did not get that, which I was really going for, and I don't know if it's... I'll figure it out.
By my understanding, it is in review.
All right. There was another one called Motion Picture Problems, using all the motion picture dilemmas. That's looking at all of them, I think that's got to be one of the best sets, because there was a lot of good dilemmas in motion pictures.
And, there really are.
And since a lot of staples got reprinted and rebranded with motion pictures flavor. For example, a Fast Ship would be nice. Was reprinted with.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Dead End was already there, but same with Balancing Act.
Well, you've already got. I mean, Voyager,
the Whale Probe, Subspace Shockwave, and I wanted to use Regime Change. I got to play it on a couple of homeworlds, but no one ever attempted them. That's the one that kills three people that report for free there. That was good.
Yeah, I've been waiting to see that hit.
Yeah. I had the whole Now Would Be a Good Time and Crisis and God, so you've got to have people on the ship, and then the ship blows up. That worked out well. I nearly stranded. Unfortunately, all my opponents had a lot of ships, so that never really came into play, but you know what was great? Devastating Communique right before V'ger, so you can go through and pick off somebody, your choice, pretty much. And it helped that I had William Decker out, so I could look and see exactly what I needed, because I could never remember. It was a computer skill, diplomacy, and anthropology. I think by the end I remembered it. Or two empathy. So there was a lot of good stuff there. And it helped that I was playing dilemmas that people had to read for once, like Dedication to Duty. It just stops random people and lets me draw cards. Although, I had a handful of cards against Charlie, and he hit Dedication to Duty, and he picked somebody with like five icons, and he said, "Yeah, why don't you go ahead and draw?" So I just put a bunch of cards on top of the pile, and he threw away Ref Card and scorched hand me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said, "Yeah, this is kind of a jerk move, but I've never played this card before." Like, all right. Well, the plus side of having a bunch of cards in your hand is you really don't care about most of them anyway, so I didn't lose the ship that I had to go, that I wanted to go do something with, but that was rough. Anyway, it was a good day. I had a good day, had a good time. The deck will stay together. I'll probably take a few cards out, and it will make a reappearance, in a probably a couple months or so. And I will retry for at least I'll keep the dilemmas together, because that dilemma pile was I was playing with 19 of them, and I think they really worked well. I had tools like Balancing Act and Dead End. I had filters and kills and walls, so it worked well. It worked really well. I enjoyed it. Someone mentioned that the DS9 problems was difficult, but you know what? That's probably going to get a lot better real soon.
Yeah. Well, there it's difficult because it doesn't exist.
Oh. Well, then why do they try for it? I tried for DS9 problems.
You probably tried for it, like, hoping it was hidden.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe it'll make a reappearance after the next set drops, because there'll be some better DS9 dilemmas.
There are the Voyager problems.
Voyager, TNG,
and there's TNG
and
problems.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have one more 1E topic to talk about. And that
yes,
is,
we do.
That is this spoiler we've got for the next set, the DS9 one.
This is a person. A noun, and it is as interesting as you would expect a 1E noun to be.
It is
not that it's
is Yarkon a personnel in TUI that does something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually wondering, I couldn't remember if he was backwards compatible, if this was a conversion or not, but it does not appear to be.
All right. Yarka is a civilian with three skills, anthro, archaeology, and physics. Yeah, that's in TUI order.
Pretty mundane. Yeah, pretty mundane stats even for TUI. Definitely for 1E.
665. 665, yes. Hey, there's a number on this card. Is this the first time we've had a number? A card? I mean, a property number? Not a
it might
number?
Be.
It's
48.
Yeah, 48V. So, as always, our spoilers come with the caveat of it will probably be dropped from the set before we're done talking, or at least changed. So, 48V is a tentative number. Go ahead and read the lore.
He is a former Vedic who lost his position in 2371 for protesting against peace with the Cardassians, misinterpreted Trakor's third prophecy.
Trakor's third prophecy being the most important of his prophecies.
And naturally.
Which
Was this the immigrants refuse immigration episode?
That sounds familiar, yeah. You know, when we get a, the first thing I wanted to do was look it up in the card database so you can tell where it came from. It's not in the card database because it's
not,
a spoiler.
Not with a spoiler, probably.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, this is a good 1E card. It's got a couple of skills. It's a civilian, so he plays for free. If you've got, what's his name in the house, in the office of the ministers?
Yeah. First Minister Shakar.
Exactly. Standard.
Anthropology.
Yeah.
Anthropology Bajoran.
All right. And since his name is Yarka, he's probably at the very end of the Bajoran, so it'll help you build your lists.
Yeah, the prospective card list fans. There's a little hint. Oh, Charlie says it's from Destiny. Oh, that's right, the Comet Prophecy. Okay, so there's your episode answer.
All right, very good. All right, well, with that, he's a free play of the chamber that isn't a dip hole. Thanks, Charlie.
Your mom's a dip hole. He's your free play. Well, I did do one other semi-Trek-related thing this weekend. Oh, that's right. He's free play anyway. He's a vet.
Yeah, we are smart. All right. Trek related, something other than.
Anyway, so since I'm on the East Coast for a while, I did want to make one other stop while I was in town, and that was to try and make a trip over to New York City to visit some friends and maybe see a show, do some touristy things, since I've never really got to do any touristy things. And while I was browsing. I stopped by a hotel, even though I wasn't staying at one, and was browsing the rack of brochures, you know, come to our touristy shit that they have in all the hotels, and one caught my eye. Much like they have in San Diego, they have a aircraft carrier museum at one of the ports in New York City. However, unlike the one in San Diego, this one had a space shuttle on it temporarily.
Nice.
They had it was on loan from NASA, and they had built a shelter on the deck of the ship, so you could go up, take the ship tour, and then go into this little mini museum that they had set up temporarily, and it was only there through the end of the week. So I had been there just in time. Oh, and Admiral, it is the Enterprise.
Nice.
So, yeah, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I think I'm going to have to go there.
I want to say I went out to the Intrepid when I was, had to be in grade school or something, when I was out visiting folks in New York. That is an awesome place to see all that equipment. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, it is. If you've never been to either the Midway or the Intrepid, depending on your, you know, proximity to either. I highly recommend it. And it was cool to get to go on both and kind of compare notes to see how they were. It was totally worth going on another. You know, it's like, oh, well, I've already been on an aircraft carrier tour. But they were very different, and they were different enough that I recommend going to both if you've been to one and have the chance to go to the other as well. But yeah, I skipped all that right away at first because I was like, I'm just going to spend all my time in the space shuttle room. But it was really neat, and it was really awe-inspiring to kind of walk in. They did a really cool job. You know, it was just a big rectangle room of a temporary building, but they created this tunnel for part of it as you come in, and they have the audio playing from its last flight moving to where it retired to, and you come out of the tunnel, and it feeds you right under the wing. So when you come out, you kind of look up and you see the under the wing, and then you just see kind of the body of labeled on the side right there. It was really, really cool points for presentation and a lot of cool history of the space shuttle there. So that was awesome and a nice little Star Trek moment. I have to post it on Facebook. They had a great shot of everybody but Shatner came out for the christening. So they have Roddenberry and the entire original series cast in their very, very 70s civilian clothes. It's pretty hilarious.
Awesome.
Yeah, and a nice kind of historical video on display narrated by Leonard Nimoy as well.
Excellent.
So, if you have the opportunity, I highly recommend it. But as you say, we have covered two reports and a lot of other things, including a spoiler, so I think we're out of intelligence for this week. Do we have anything coming up to look forward to?
We're going to do a scrapbooking party next weekend, but the weekend after that, we're doing 2E Draft in San Diego, so... We'll look forward to that.
Infinite diversity?
I don't know. I really don't remember. We talked about it, in the middle of summer when we planned out the rest of the season, and someone said, "Hey, let's do a draft. We haven't done a draft in a long time." So it was
sure.
It's been on the calendar. We've got a draft coming up. So
all right.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, I'll look forward to hearing about it. In the meantime. We'll be busy doing other stuff and have to live vicariously. And look forward to more intelligence on Emissary. But I will give a shout-out to Warp 11 and wrap this thing up. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw to end.
And you'll be double-crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect.